the investigation and research that the department did, but we receive the information and we reflect them in part two. Chair, I don't know whether it's necessary for me to go through each and every one merely to say that part two is a requirement as reflected or compliance with the requirement in section 10. We have reference to the Public Service Act, and we also have reference to the Defence Act, South African Police Service Act. On page 12, for example, there are also procedures provided for in terms of the International Environmental Management Act. Page 13, 6.5, we've also got reference to the Western Cape Public Protectors Act. Chair, that brings us to part three, but before we go to part three, I would just like to point out that the version of the draft guidelines that were approved by the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development, we had to effect a few technical amendments. Mainly as a result of the fact that in part three we have reference to the contact details of various institutions. Some of those contact details have in the meantime changed. So we merely replaced telephone numbers, etc., etc. But on page 12, Mr. Chairperson, the second paragraph from the top, the reference to the National Instruction 1 of 99. That instruction still stands, but we changed the previous reference that we had with regard to the specific units in the South African Police Service. In the meantime, were replaced by other units. So we just have to correct a reference to those units. For example, also the Divisional Commissioner Personnel Management was previously something like the Commander Personnel Affairs. So, Mr. Chair, it's merely, I don't know whether I can even call it a technical amendment, but it was as a result of the need to reflect correct information. That brings us to part 3 on page 15, where we have contact details of the public protector, and that is for purposes of section 81A, where the public protector is one of the bodies to whom a protected disclosure may be made. With all the public protector, of course, the national office contact details together with the provincial offices. Here and there, Mr. Chair, and I can confirm that it was merely an amendment of telephone numbers, fax numbers that we had to correct. On page 16, we have the contact details of the Auditor General, and that is also for purposes of section 81B of the Act, because the Auditor General is referred to as one of the institutions to whom a protected disclosure might be made. Then we have the contact details of a few additional bodies, but that is merely for general information, because it might be that an employee would like to contact, for example, the Public Service Commission to make certain disclosures. That is also as a result of reference to the Public Service Commission in part 2 of the Act. So the remainder of page 16 and the whole of page 17 then, we have the contact details of the various offices of the Public Service Commission. On page 18, we have the contact details of the South African Human Rights Commission, and then the contact details of the Commission on Gender Equality. The remainder of the draft guidelines then consists of in part four, which is merely a reflection of the provisions of the Act. Mr. Chair, I think the only remaining thing that I need to mention to you at this stage possibly is, and we have mentioned that to the committee as well in our briefing document on page 3, paragraph 4, the finalisation and availability of the guidelines. The provisions of section 10.4 B and C relate to the finalisation of the guidelines, approval by Parliament before the guidelines can be published in the Gazette is required in terms of 10.4 B. But then 10.4 C, Mr. Chair, is important and well, for the department, and that is that it requires that all organs of state must give to every employee a copy of the guidelines or to take reasonable steps to bring the relevant guidelines to the attention of every employee. So maybe just to mention this for the committee for information is that we foresee that as soon as Parliament has approved the guidelines, a few steps will have to be taken in order to comply with this requirement. Among others, then, of course, the publication of the guidelines in the Gazette and then submission of copies of the guidelines to all other national and provincial directors general in order to request them to assist in making the guidelines available or bringing it to the attention of all employees. And then also, as far as the private sector is concerned, primarily to publish those guidelines on the department's website. Chair, that brings me to the conclusion of the briefing.
Thank you very much, honourable members. You can engage with the presentation if there are any issues you want to raise. Honourable Zimandi.
Thank you, Chair. Just for interest sake, Chair, the way to practical guidelines. Normally, government speaks regulations and all that. But I'm just interested to know, is it just practical guidelines? Because the Act is saying so, or is just guiding and not binding per se. I'm trying to get the kind of status that this wording of the guidelines mean as such. Then secondly, is the issue of also, Chair, a clarity question in relation to issues of declaration of conflict of interest, whether they are, it might be totally different regimes, I'm not too sure, I would like to be clarified on that one, Chair, whether this is the same area. I know the presenter did make comment that this is in the background to say that this had to do with whistleblowing and then changed to protected disclosure and, area, so to speak, but. Where do we cover the? Is it covered elsewhere? And I know he does mention that it does also reflect to your public service and various other areas. But the clarity really I require just is is it also covering declaration of conflict, or is a separate document in relation to that? And then indeed, Chair, I I think lastly, just to welcome Chair, the apology as well on knowing consciously that it does help to get to release documents in time for us to participate effectively, but also on my part, also thankful that it's in a format that I could quickly get some brailing done. Thanks, Chair.
You can respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, with regard to the status of the guidelines, in other words, why do we refer to practical guidelines and not regulations? Section 10 makes provision for two different things. The first is providing the Minister with the power to issue regulations. Since the enactment of the Act and the implementation thereof, we have never identified a need for or received any representations for regulations to be promulgated. The main reason for that, Mr. Chair, is that the Act is to a certain extent quite straightforward, to the extent that the important part thereof is actually covered in the Act itself, namely the procedures provided for in terms of the Act. I don't know whether it's necessary to go into the legal status of regulations, but it's subordinate legislation, of course. The practical guidelines are something different, Mr. Chair. It is when the bill was considered by Parliament, they felt that there's a very strong need to educate, if I may use the word, or inform employees of its existence and, of course, the very strong nature of the Act itself and the fact that it is to the advantage of an employee who discloses improprieties in the workplace. So it is nothing else than merely an information document, Mr. Chair, which primarily aims to provide a short description of the provisions of the Act. I would like to draw your attention, and I think if we are on the second page of the guidelines, there is a footnote. And right at the beginning of our document, footnote 1, and please allow me to quote, these guidelines are issued by the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development in terms of Section 10(4) of the Act. They are aimed at providing employees who wish to disclose certain information with a short summary of the Act, but do not deal comprehensively with all the provisions of the Act. The provisions of the Act are reflected at the back of the guidelines. Mr. Chair, yes, we merely mention or refer to these guidelines as practical guidelines because that is the term that was used in the Act itself, and we will not have the ability to deviate from that. But apart from the guidelines being nothing else than an information document, it can also not be regarded as subordinate legislation at all. Sorry, Chair, and then yes, the declaration of conflict of interests, if I understood the question correctly, is whether it should have been or is it in the ambit of the Act or some other area. Mr. Chair, yes, that is indeed the case. Conflict of interest are usually regulated in terms of specific pieces of legislation dealing with various other aspects, for example, Public Service Act, or, for example, if you've got an Act which establishes a commission, etc., and you need to deal with that sector-specific conflict of interest, then that will be dealt with accordingly. But this Act does not deal with a conflict of interest. Thank you, Chair.
Let's have engagements, honourable members. Let me take the opportunity to thank the department for their presentation with no dependence. And this brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Okay, just before, the reason for our low participation is that we have just received the documents this morning and we have not gone through them. But it would be important that the research team go through and check for us so that when we get to the next meeting, we are informed of issues that, in terms of the Act and also the guidelines themselves, as to whether there's no issues that do not go together or if there are specific problems, so that we are guided in as far as that particular situation is concerned, so that we can engage with the documents properly, Chair. And that's what I thought becomes important for us to move forward. But we will also indicate that in future, let us not receive documents in the morning and a presentation is made. We'll rather postpone that meeting, Chair.
That is not the... Thank you very much, my own members.
Thank you.